Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Well, we're going to see the end of 2013 here in a few days, and we'll be entering a new year. So for many of us, we've been through so much this past year. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have come down with sicknesses and diseases. Some of us have suffered financially. Some of us have suffered at the hands of false brethren. So Jesus never promised us that we wouldn't have trials. He did say, in this world, you will have tribulations. So no matter what you're doing, especially if you're doing something for the Lord, you will have tribulation. The Bible also says that your mother could turn against you, your father could turn against you, your own family could turn against you. And for the gospel's sake, any of us that have been born again, and we know what our old life was like, and we wouldn't want to go back there for all the money in the world. But sometimes people remember you from your past, and in Jesus Christ, we don't have a past. Our past is forgiven, and we were given a brand new life when we were born again. So we thank God for the new life that we have, and the old life has passed away. But sometimes it's hard for people, especially people in your family that have known you for many years, and they want to judge you for your past, not realizing, especially if they're not born again themselves, they don't realize that your past is forgiven. And maybe some of the things that you've done in your past, yeah, you have a greater understanding of how life works. So when you see someone going down the wrong road and you're crying out to try to help them save their life and help to save them from destruction and from hurting themselves, how you can make people very, very angry. And we see that spirit of rebellion in the world today, don't we? And we know that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we see people calling good evil and evil good, and we see the love of money, and truly the love of money is the root of all evil, the root of all evil. We see greed, and we see wars and rumors of wars, so many things happening around us. And so we can say with all earnesty, all earnest, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And wow, we need him now more than ever. We know that Jesus Christ will come again. We know that he walked on the earth and he died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price so we wouldn't have to pay the price for our sins. And he died, he resurrected, and then he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So we know that no matter what we have to go through in this life, that God will be there for us. Now, I don't understand, and I don't think I will ever understand as long as I'm on this earth, why there is so much suffering in the world, especially as it pertains to Christians. God allows it. I know that. And so we're not God, and I don't think that we can ever figure God out in our head. But we know that there is a devil. We know that people serve the devil. We know that people practice witchcraft. Isn't it amazing, really, when you look at some of these movie stars and singers, and they give they're not ashamed to give the hand signal of the devil when they're singing or on their album covers. They're not ashamed of the fact that they've sold their soul to Satan for fame and fortune. But the devil is a cruel taskmaster, and he doesn't give you anything, and then he'll take it away from you. We've seen it over and over again where people can be tremendously wealthy. They could have tremendous fame, and then it can be taken away from them almost overnight, especially if they're a public figure and they might make a statement. They might just have one slip of the tongue, and that could cost them millions of dollars. It could cost them their empire, and people, you know, they love you one day, and then they'll hate you the next. We remember Jesus himself when he was going through, I think it was Jerusalem, on the donkey, and everybody was Hosanna, Hosanna, and they were praising him, and then it wasn't long after that they wanted to crucify him, so... You know, how quickly things can change in this life. So we know that the Lord is on our side, and God can fight our battles for us. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So there might be people out there that might try to hurt you and try to do things to you, but God, if you serve God righteously and you live a righteous life, then God will be your defender, and your enemies will not be allowed to hurt you. So just stand strong today, no matter what you're going through. And I see so many of my friends from the internet going through death and the family and going through sicknesses, and it's tough. It really, really is tough. So, but we know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through this world. We're only here for a short time. It's like the Bible says, your life is but a vapor. And a vapor, it's here 1 minute and then it's gone the next. So you're here and then you're gone. And then you're only a memory. You're not here anymore. So you can either make a decision that you're going to heaven, which is a real place, and God lives there, or you're going to hell, and hell is a real place too. And the way you go there is if you deny Jesus Christ, and you have not accepted him as your Savior. And we have a responsibility, especially in this country. There isn't any reason why you can say that you haven't heard the gospel, because you have heard it. You have had an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. And so the responsibility then is on you, because you heard the word. Did you take that word? Was it that the word of God is the seed. It's not money. The word of God is the seed that goes into your heart. And that seed takes root. And you should be growing in the knowledge of God. You should be growing in wisdom and growing in faith. But, of course, we're all human, yet we're still in this flesh. And we're still trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. But like I said before, you can't. There's nothing you can do to earn favor with God. You can't pay him. I saw a guy on TV last night, and he was asking people to give a favor offering. He says, well, you can't buy favor from God, but the Bible says, and then he continues to sell you favor with God by giving a seed faith financial gift. But you can't earn God's favor. You can't earn his love. He already loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So he gave his most precious gift, which was his son. And we don't have to keep trying to pay him off and trying to earn our salvation through good works and confessing our sins, that kind of thing. When you're born again, you're born again. And yes, we do still need to repent. I try to repent daily for the areas where I miss it, and we all do, even Christians. But the thing is, we can be reined in by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. The people that aren't convicted by the Holy Ghost and refuse to change, people that will live in adultery, people that will live together without being married and practice fornication, people that cheat and steal. There's a day of reckoning because God sees all that. He knows what you're doing. So you might think you're getting away with something, but God knows what you're doing. And he's looking for people that have a repentant heart, people that will say, I'm sorry, God, I missed it. And then he's there to forgive us. But people that are in open rebellion against God, it's ultimately going to hurt you more than anyone. You will be hurt. Sin, like the Bible says, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but then when the season is over, there's no pleasure in it anymore. There's a lot of pain. So I encourage you to get out your Bible and read it, study it. Let God's word guide you through life. And the Holy Spirit is a helper. He helps us and he teaches us. And that word of God goes into us and it changes us. It renews our mind. You can't believe when you ever have any dealings with people that aren't saved, some people, yeah, they can be very nice and they try to do good moral things. But then you meet these scoundrels. And you can't believe that people like this really exist in the world. We find it hard to believe, don't we, as Christians, because we're so removed from the way the world does things that when we see it happening, even with people close to us, that it's quite shocking, really, that people don't fear God and have a respect for his word. Some of the things, and I'm going to read a few scriptures here, because the Bible says that we are living in a very perverse time. Truly we are. Almost all the television programs anymore are about adultery. You see people basically having sexual relations on TV, the language, the cursing and the foul language, and the disrespect, using the Lord's name in vain. The airwaves are full of it. And then you can turn the channel to what they call Christian television, and it's so awful. The way the gospel is being presented in most cases, the way the selling of the gospel, the merchandising of the gospel. And that's one of the things I'd like to see change in 2014. I'd like to see more Christian people boycott these so-called ministries, not stop supporting them, stop watching them and listening to them, because if they can't be accountable to God, especially in the area of finances, and live by faith and quit being a bunch of beggars and manipulators, then why would any of us want to listen to these people? So it's time to turn them off. And maybe if people start turning them off and stop supporting them, they'll have to go away. The only reason that most of them are still there is because there's people that support them and send them money. So as long as you're supporting them, it costs a lot of money to be on television. I think TBN, I think I heard that they sell their airtime for something like $15,000 or $20,000 a half hour or an hour. Now, that's a lot of money to come up with. And some of these people even have daily programs. So how are they doing it? Very expensive. But it would be one of the greatest things that could happen is if we could have some real Christian networks where they're not raising funds at all. There's never a mention of money. It's just the pure preaching of the gospel. And that's what we need to get back to. So remember, 2014, here's a good New Year's resolution. I will not listen to any more pimp preachers. I will not support these people in any way, shape, or form, and be vocal about it, even if you have to confront them face to face. It's very hard to even get to some of these famous preachers because they have bodyguards. Now, who needs a bodyguard, you know? If you're a minister, people are supposed to be able to talk to you, but for the most part, you can't talk to these people. And you even hear people saying on the internet, "Well, why do you put this stuff up on your website, and why do you say these things on Blog Talk Radio? Why don't you contact them yourself?" Well, you can't contact them; they're not going to talk to you. Even if you went to see them in person, you probably couldn't get past their bodyguards. Even some of these, it's quite hysterical too, some of these Sunday morning services, like I think T.D. Jakes, he's got these big muscle men. As he's preaching, these big muscle men are standing up in the front. And like, who wants to be intimidated? If I'm going to church to hear a sermon, why do I have to be intimidated by these goons? It's ridiculous. The whole atmosphere, this whole Hollywood atmosphere that's permeated the church and turned preachers into superstars instead of humble servants of the Lord, that system has to go, because God hates idolatry, and we don't need a pope in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to be worshiping human beings and running after humans, because the Bible says, "Cursed is the man. Cursed is the man that puts his trust in man." So you can't put your trust in human beings. They will disappoint you. They will fail you, but God will not. And we don't understand his ways. We don't have, we see through a glass darkly. So God's ways are definitely not our ways. I never created anything with my words, like the sky and the moon and the animals and the flowers and all the things that God created with his word. So I never did anything like that. I cannot understand God in my small mind. I just know that he's real. I know he's real. I know there is a God. I know there is a Jesus. I know that he saved me, that he changed my life. I know that. You can't tell me any different. And he can do the same thing for you. So let's look at a couple scriptures. Proverbs 28. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Now, we see this a lot. We see people become very wealthy. Some people become very wealthy. And the way they got wealthy was they were dishonest, they were perverted, they walked over other people to get what they wanted. And the Bible says it's better to be poor and be upright than to be rich and be a pervert. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Yeah. 1 Peter 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So there you go. Withdraw thyself from these people that say gain is godliness, because these are false prophets. These are false teachers. These are people that are no longer being convicted by God or by the Holy Ghost. Whether or not some of these people ever really knew God, I don't know. I don't know how you can know God and act like a pervert constantly. So, Acts 20, verse 30. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And we certainly see that a lot days, and more so in the days ahead. I think that as time goes on and we see the great falling away, and we do see it, especially for many of us, like myself, who've been born again now for 32 years, and you see how things have changed so radically. We see a great falling away of holiness and purity. The way women dress today, even in the church, the way people talk, and the liberal views that many Christians have developed. And I think a lot of that comes from not spending time in the Word of God and not renewing your mind. So then you will adapt, your thinking will adapt to worldliness and not to holiness. So we definitely see a falling away of modesty and holiness more than ever. I have to tell you, I'm shocked, really, by the way modesty has taken a back seat and holiness. And it's almost like, you know, people want to mock you because you ask, why aren't people being modest and why aren't they acting with holiness? Because Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So Titus 2:3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. Holiness is important to God. If it wasn't, he wouldn't bother talking about it. Let's look at a couple more scriptures, because this is a really good topic for today's church. Malachi 2:11, Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange god. And we see this a lot. We see people hooking up with people that don't know God, people that know God and know better, hooking up to the daughter, as it said there, of a strange god. Because light, you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness except to witness to them. But you can't marry someone, if you're a Christian, you can't marry someone that's not a Christian, because you're just asking for trouble. And like the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So if you want problems, you can get big problems like that. Psalm 96:9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Now, I like this one a lot. Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The highway of holiness. Amen. That's beautiful. So, one more scripture. 2 Chronicles 20:21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So we worship and praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And men and women of God, we want to practice holiness and purity in all our ways, especially to be a testimony to someone else. Which is very, very important, because people do watch our lives. Okay, I can't say that we always are perfect in everything we do, but we know what right and wrong is. So, and God will give us that space to repent. But if you want, ladies, the Proverbs 31 woman, this is a good example of who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and she works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She cooks. She considers a field and she buyeth it. She actually bought a field with money. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold a distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She dresses nice. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So remember, women, you don't attract a man with your flesh, because beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So we have to remember who we are in Christ, and to be women of virtue, be women that walk in holiness, and keep a watch over the door of our lips to try to say the right thing. Sometimes it's difficult, especially if you're angry. And but we're all learning, and we all have a way to go, don't we? As long as we're in this life, we're going to have temptations and trials and tests, and but we have the Bible, thank God, as our guidebook to help us get through. But I just wanted to mention a few of the top stories of 2013. We had the death of Nelson Mandela in South Africa. And I myself had spent over a month in South Africa in the early 90s. And so I know a little bit about the country. I don't know that much about it, but I hope to have some people on the program in the future that live in South Africa, and also some people that live in other parts of Africa, so they can give you a firsthand testimony of what it's like, because you can't believe things that you read in the newspapers. And there was a good testimony of Dr. Peter Hammond, who lives in Cape Town, South Africa, minister of the gospel, and he has a testimony on YouTube of meeting with Nelson Mandela, and he was actually called there when he was president of South Africa. He was called to meet with him, and he met with him, and then I think he was with another man, and then they laid hands on him. And they asked him why, as evil as apartheid was, why Mandela supported abortion, and which was more wicked than anything, is to actually take the life of an unborn human. And I can't remember exactly what his answer is, but you could go to YouTube and look at the video. But he did confront him on some issues. And after he had the meeting with Mandela, and he said he was very cordial, just very charismatic man, but apparently he angered him. Because he said, I think it was for 7 years, anywhere from 7 to 12 years, that he was constantly being audited as retaliation for confronting Nelson Mandela on these social issues of the day. So now, what kind of person really is that, that you confront them with issues, moral issues, and then they after you leave their presence, they're scheming to try to do something to hurt you. When you merely spoke to them about something as evil as abortion and would question them. So I think there's some other testimonies and that need to be looked into, because you can't just take it for face value that this person was a great man when a man of God sits down with him and then he repays him by auditing him. What is wrong with people? Please. Or, you know, that's not right. That wasn't kind. And so, anyway, it remains to be seen. I think that it's good to be able to talk to people that actually live in those countries and find out what really happened. It's just like people here, we live here in this country, and then when you travel to other countries, they only know what they hear. And for the most part, I found that traveling to many different countries that people thought all Americans were rich and that we go out to our money tree in our backyard and just pick off the money off the tree somehow. So I don't know where they ever got that impression from, but I guess it comes from Hollywood. And most people in other countries, everybody wanted to come here. So, you know, it's a nice place. I'm glad I grew up in America. But, you know, it's not, it's a place that has its faults, too. But anyway, don't, you know, when somebody does something to you or confronts you about an issue, don't leave their presence and then think about what you can do to get even with them because you didn't like what they did to you. We're not supposed to be trying to hurt people. So, anyway. Also, we saw the death of Paul Crouch Sr. this year. That just happened recently. So I expect to see people coming out of the woodwork with books and lawsuits in this next year. Now that Paul Senior is gone, I expect there to be a lot of chaos and a lot of judgment. I think God, this is 2014, I think, is the year for God to really start judging some of these ministries that have perverted the gospel and have used the gospel to enrich themselves. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money and earning a living. We all have to earn a living, but you know, to manipulate people for your own gain and then to use the gospel of Jesus Christ to do it, no, that's enough. So I expect that this year we're going to see a lot of judgment coming into the body of Christ. We're going to also see these false prophets and these wolves be more prominent. We see this with this new Pope Francis. He looks like, oh, wow, what a nice man. Well, he's a wolf. So anybody could kiss babies and hug people, but what's the fruit? What's behind it all? So don't be deceived by good PR. We have to judge people's fruit and see what kind of fruit they have in their life. I think that we're also going to see a bigger increase in mental illness. We see so much mental illness, and I think a lot of it has to do with vaccinations, a lot of the drugs that they're giving people. Most of the vaccines that are given today contain aborted babies. And you can go to my website, propheticnews.com, or you could just put vaccines from abortion in your search engine, and you will see that most vaccines, some that I know of off the top of my head, are the chickenpox vaccine, one of the flu vaccines, the shingles vaccine, I think one of the rabies vaccines, but there's quite a few of them where they had taken an aborted baby's tissue and actually used that cell line to make the vaccine. So you wonder why there's so much mental illness. Who could take that? Who can? We're not cannibals. And it's not a real well-known fact. You don't hear people talking about it that much. I wish they would talk about it more. But we see it, the increase of autism. We see the increase of murder on the increase, violence, people just walking down the street, and they have these flash mobs that just start hitting people. And I think crime, we saw that over the Christmas holidays, the Target store, they had 40 million people that their credit cards were breached, hacked into. So as people, as the economy slows down and people get more desperate, they'll do anything to get money. They'll just do anything. They don't care. They'll rob old grandma if they have to. So we're seeing that. You see news stories of people, home invasions of elderly people, 90-year-old people, and people breaking into their houses and beating them up and leaving them for dead just for, you know, a TV set or a computer or something. Horrible. And I think crime will be on the increase as people get more and more desperate and the days grow increasingly evil. And so if we don't know God, who's going to protect us? We better know God and have his angels out around our house protecting us, because I've never seen so much crime, and crime is increasing. And then with the added mental illness and the brain dysfunction in the young people and even in the old people, because they want to vaccinate older people too. And, you know, if there was a safe vaccine, okay, fine, but who wants aborted baby tissue injected into them? Who wants mercury injected into them? Aluminum, formaldehyde. I don't want to be embalmed yet. I'm not dead, so I don't want to be injected with something that's going to hurt me. I'd rather trust God myself. And so we need to be careful. So I think the we're seeing that, though, today. We're seeing the rise of brain dysfunction, mental illness, autism, and these kind of things are really affecting society. And then we have the added problem of cloning that's coming, of these fertility drugs that are giving people cancer, of these children being born from frozen embryos that have been frozen for, I'm not a big fan of fertility treatments or these kind of things, because I think it's not fair to the child. Most of these children are born with some type of disease or illness, and it's really not fair to them. So if God doesn't give you a child naturally, then don't try to help him out by using these drugs. And you can see, if you do the research, you'll see that most women develop some kind of a cancer later on from using fertility treatments. And it's dangerous, very dangerous. So, and even if you have other children, you don't want your children to have to grow up without their mother. So you need to be careful about what you take in, what you put into your body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's the truth. But I think we're also going to see a lot more censorship. I thought there was an interesting picture the other day, and they had made a comment about the guy from Duck Dynasty making his statements about homosexuality. And then they had a picture of the president of was it the president of Syria? No, it wasn't the Ahmadinejad. So I can't remember what country he's a president of. But anyway, they had his picture. And if you're found to be a homosexual in his country, they behead you. But he's invited to Columbia University to be a speaker, and people are applauding him. And yet this man from Duck Dynasty makes a statement, and everybody's in an uproar. Well, you know, the guy from, I think it's, maybe it's Iran. I can't remember. Ahmadinejad anyway. But his policy was a lot worse than what the guy from Duck Dynasty said, that's for sure. But the way I feel is there shouldn't be any censorship. You should be allowed to say what you want to say as long as you're not threatening anybody. But just because you quote a Bible scripture or you tell people what the Bible says and that's hate speech, already I think in Canada you're not allowed to say anything against preachers on television, aren't allowed to speak out against homosexuality. And I think even it might be in England too, I think, that you can't make any kind of comments because it's considered hate speech. So we're going to see more of that in these days, that if you quote a Bible scripture, especially if it pertains to morality, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, these kind of things, that you know, people are going to want to kill you, or they were trying to destroy this man for his views. Well, you know, he has a right to his views. You don't necessarily have to agree with his views, but that's how he feels. So we deal with it all the time, don't we, as Christians? We deal with people's opinions, people, the way they feel about things. They're not ashamed to talk about whatever they want to talk about on television. We're not out there trying to hurt them and destroy them. So we're trying to get them saved. Amen? And trying to lead them to Jesus. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to go over those things with you today. And next week we're going to have Bob Lichow. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Anyway, when he comes on next week, he'll help me. But he's got Discernment Ministries, and he's got some great articles. And I used to be a big fan of his website many years ago when I found him. I'm still a fan of his website, but when I found him and his testimony. So we're going to be talking about the Word of Faith movement and about judging, and he'll share some of his testimony next week. And also, I was trying to, there's a good book, if anybody wants to read it, called Mafia Ministry, A Crying Shame. And it's written by a lady named Cheryl. I can't pronounce her last name. But anyway, she was the housekeeper for Benny Hinn. And so she, after she wrote a book, and it's a quite an interesting book. It's a good read, easy to read, and you might find that interesting. Anyway, I'm hoping that she'll come on in the weeks ahead. And so if any of you out there have written a book or have something that you want to talk about, just contact me at susan@propheticnews.com, and we'll see if we can get you on. So I want to thank you all for listening this year, for your support, for your emails, and for your love. It means so much. It really does. And I'm so happy that God has given us this opportunity to preach the gospel and to be here on Blog Talk Radio. It is a real blessing. It really is. Now, we also have a YouTube channel and our website, propheticnews.com. So we hope and pray that these programs are a blessing and that you have learned something from the many, many guests we've had on, the many topics we've talked about. And there might be some topics you want us to talk about that we haven't discussed. So just email me, susan@propheticnews.com. And if you have some show ideas or whatever, that would be a blessing. But most of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to come into your life and change your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to be born again. You're born once of your mother, and then you must be born again by the Spirit of God, not through baptism, not through church membership, but through a personal relationship with a real living person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, the one who died for us, the one who forgives us for all our sins and gives us a wonderful life. We can never thank him enough and praise him enough for his unspeakable gift. Get out your Bible and start to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start from there and find out what God has to say. You'll be blessed. I'll tell you, the Word of God is so precious, and it's our guidebook for life. It will guide you through life, and it will help you through any crisis that you're going through right now. I pray for your healing today. I believe that God is a miracle worker, and he is a healer. And we pray for Jesus to heal you and to touch your body and your mind, whatever you need from God. We ask the Lord to bless you, to minister to you, to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory, and he will. So I want to thank you for tuning in today, and don't forget to be here next week at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. So God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.